Senior Living Advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
A Taliban app that Google banned earlier this week, available on Amazon. It's called The Voice of Jihad, and it's available in English. It provides Taliban news, videos, and updates. An ugly scene unfolding just outside the Houston Zoo after a dispute over a parking space leads to an all-out brawl. USA Radio's Tammy Rose reports.
Linda Padilla and her husband went to the Houston Zoo for a good time, but instead witnessed a knockdown, drag-out brawl in a parking lot.
She says, I'm saving this spot, and you can't have it. And the lady tried to pull in, and that's when the lady walked up and hit her car.
On one side, a man tried to break up the fight between the original two women. On the other side, two other women were fighting. And toward the end, another woman runs into the parking space with a child in a stroller who continued to hold the parking space.
There's little kids watching this. There's people watching this.
By the time police arrived, everyone had left, and no arrests were made. I'm Tammy Rowe.
This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
The White House has been caught manipulating official video. USA Radio senior correspondent Jason Wirt with this report.
The Obama administration is now facing criticism after what was called an official video of a press conference featuring the president and French President Hollande was found to have been edited for political purposes. Craig Bannister of the Media Research Center tells USA Radio News the White House's explanation of the mistake doesn't hold up.
The White House's alibi was that there was a glitch and that the audio was dropped during recording. The peculiar things about that is that they then later posted a complete audio version.
Bannister added it would be impossible to have a complete version if the audio really dropped out during the initial recording. I'm Jason Wirt.
Security will be very tight for the running of the Boston Marathon April 18th. The FBI says there's no current credible threat against the event, but no chances are being taken. Law enforcement is banning backpacks, coolers, blankets, drones, and glass containers along the 26-mile marathon route. This will be the third running of the marathon since the 2013 bombing that killed three and injured more than 260 people. President Obama coming to Los Angeles. The president expected to arrive in the City of Angels this evening and attend a pair of fundraisers before leaving the area midday Friday. Variety reporting that the fundraiser taking place at the Bel Air home of Walt Disney Studios Chairman Alan Horn and his wife. On Friday, the president attending a breakfast fundraiser at the home of actor Tobey Maguire and his wife. This is USA Radio News.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
On today's program, I'll be talking about how Staples office stores could be your next office, why George Mason University has had to rethink the name of its new law center, my top 10 pet peeves of public speakers. I'll have a game plan for your to-do list and the 10 most destructive lies business owners tell themselves. It's Thursday, April 7th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do that, check the weather. It'll be rainy today. Currently 57 degrees. It'll be cloudy and rain tapering off to showers later with a few lingering showers this evening. A high of 58 and a low of 40. For tomorrow, we're going to have periods of clouds and sun with a high of 51 and a low of 28. Saturday will have showers of rain and snow throughout the day with a high of 42 degrees and a low of 26. And for Sunday, it'll be sunny with a high of 46 and a low of 31 degrees. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 144.84 to 17,571.21. The NASDAQ is down 52.65 to 4,868.07. S&P 500 is down 18.37 to 2,048.29. Oil is down 81 cents to $36.94 per barrel. Gold is up $18.10 to $1,241.90 an ounce. That's what's happening in the markets. Let's check what's going on around here. As we do every time this week, I kind of recap the week that was, if you will. Still waiting for my dealer to deliver my delicious trefoil Girl Scout cookies. That hasn't happened yet. So by announcing it here on the air, I'm putting her on notice. It's time to supply and demand, and I demand my supply. Where are my trefoils? So all the important stuff has to get taken care of in the beginning of the show. So last weekend, as I mentioned, we went to my brother-in-law's and our respective spouses. We all went to New York City, as we do every year when someone in the group turns 50. My one brother-in-law, David, he's in charge of finding the restaurants and did a great job this year, kind of took care of everything for us. And so we had lunch, and then we went out for drinks, and we just kind of spent the day in New York City, and then we ended up at a great restaurant for dinner and surprised Maria with a bunch of her friends coming in and her kids coming in, so it was all good. But one thing that happened during this trip really left its mark on me, and that was our trip to One World Trade Center. And so this is the new Freedom Tower or One World Trade Center. They've actually stopped calling it the Freedom Tower because back in 2009, apparently a group of Chinese investors have invested in One World Trade. And as a result, very quietly, no real paper trail to follow, they removed the term Freedom Tower. To me, it will always be Freedom Tower. It'll always be the Garden State Arts Center. It'll always be the Brendan Byrne Arena. You can name it whatever you want. It's kind of like how I remember it. And so we went up to the 101st floor, and that's where the observation area is, and pretty much gave you a 360-degree view of the entire city. But you're there with everybody, what we were teasingly and jokingly calling general population. You know, you're trying to fight for window space. And then my brother-in-law says, come with me. And he had gotten us up to what is known as a VIP observation area. This is the 102nd floor, the highest floor you can go to. And we had the whole floor to ourselves. And when we walked in, there was a bar set up. And this is for private functions typically. But he had found out that since it wasn't being used, we could pay a little bit more and then go up there. So we had the whole floor to ourselves. And we just walked around the floor, looked out the windows. And, you know, you'd look at, you know, the usual suspects, the Empire State Building, the City Court Building, the Chrysler Building, things like that. Then we would walk to another window and we'd be looking at Weehawken, New Jersey, another, you know, window, and on the other side of the building we'd be looking at Brooklyn. Eventually I looked down, and it was a little saddening because there were two holes in the ground, and those were the reflecting pools of where the original Trade Center towers were. And then we saw the new PATH station there, the beautiful architecture that, that goes with that. And it kind of just always brings me back to September 11th and thinking of my friends, people I knew, Tom Polhemus, Chris Ingracia, and Joe Pick, who was at my house just 2 days before he was killed in the World Trade Center. And you think back to the horror that these guys would have had to have lived through at that height. And then I also thought about what has been termed falling man, and that was the people who, because they had no options, eventually decided to jump from the building. And when you were up that high and looking down, you know, how desperate must they have been to actually make that leap? So it was good in a way to get there and see that the building is functional. It's about 40% occupied. And to see that people are coming back and that they are going and visiting the new One World Trade Center. The unique thing, if you do go, is the elevator ride up. It takes about 45 seconds, and you don't get to see outside. But the walls are basically TV screens, and as you go up by varying heights, there's an altitude meter in the left-hand corner, and then there's also a calendar or date that's also going up. And so if you follow the date, what you will see, you start out just looking at a bunch of trees, and then you start to see brownstones rising, and then eventually as time goes on, you start to see skyscrapers, and then, you know, the Empire State Building appears, and both of the World Trade Center buildings appear and then disappear. But it's kind of like a video showing how New York City grew over the years, over the past 100 years. Very interesting video. If they haven't posted that online yet, it would be a worthwhile viewing because it's just unique to see how that city has grown, you know, from the early days till now. So, again, a great time heading into the city, celebrating a 50th birthday of Maria. And I think we have one more to go. Then we're going to have to start celebrating the 60th birthday of some of these people. All right. Now, in the news this week, a very interesting story. Last year, right around this time, my wife and I and my younger son, Colin, started visiting colleges. It was time for him to pick a school. And I remember that it was Masters weekend. And because we had gone to the University of South Carolina and Augusta, Georgia is just about an hour south of there. We went to the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, which is where he ended up going. And we also visited George Mason University. And George Mason is in the news this week, not because they won a national championship in basketball, but for something else that happened. And this is kind of like a great story on how to control the messaging. Because it's here somebody got a little bit of news, ran with it, and then it just mushroom clouded into just a disaster. So a few weeks ago on the program, I read a story about the need to carefully vet the name of your business, its possible acronyms and slogans for any references that you don't intend. Sometimes it's with the greatest of intentions, you know, you come up with a beautiful name for your business only to find out that if people just look at the initials, it may spell something that you didn't intend. And apparently the fine folks at George Mason University weren't listening to that week's show. Now, almost immediately after George Mason University announced last week that it was changing the name of its law school to the Antonin Scalia School of Law, the pundits pounced on that. You see, the acronym for the school would either be ASSOL or ASSLAW. So if you really wanted to look at it, you could call it that the Antonin Scalia School of Law, if you were using the acronyms, would have either been asshole or ass law. And, of course, social media erupted with this. Now, the name change came after the law school in Arlington, Virginia, received $30 million in donations to include a $10 million from the Charles Koch Foundation and $20 million from an anonymous donor. And it was not scheduled to be announced last week, but Nina Totenberg got word of it, and she tweeted it. And soon the school confirmed it, and numerous unspeakable jokes were made. The school has moved fairly quickly to amend the name in order to avoid any scatological acronyms. Dean Harry Butler, or Henry Butler, sent out a letter to alumni, it first reported by Above the Law blog Tuesday, that the school will now be called the Antonin Scalia Law School. The name initially announced, Butler wrote, has caused some acronym controversy on social media. The Antonin Scalia Law School is a logical substitute, and we anticipate that the naming will be effective July 1, 2016, pending final approval by the State Council of Higher Education for Virginia. Butler's office did not immediately release a copy of the letter on Tuesday. The new abbreviation becomes ASLS, and this is already attracting more jokes on social media, and I'll let you figure out why. Currently 12:15, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, how Staples could become not only your office supply center, but your office. We'll be right back.
At Jersey Mike's, we think making a great sub sandwich and making a difference can be one and the same. Visit Jersey Mike's on Wednesday, March 30th. 100% of sales go toward helping a charity right in your own backyard.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for about the next 45 minutes, and always glad to be here every Thursday afternoon with you. Next week, I will not be here. We're going to put on the rewind and try to replay the interview that I did with the folks from Fimbul Architectural Door. Got a little procedure got to take care of with the doctor, kind of a 10,000-mile checkup. And when that's all done, then hopefully we can go uninterrupted for several weeks here on the program. Well, when you think about Staples, you normally think about office supplies and usually in bulk. You know, you don't buy one box of paper clips. You buy seven boxes of paper clips because that's how they're packaged. And you don't buy one roll of Scotch tape. You buy 10 because that's how they're packaged. I think I have enough Scotch tape in my office to last the year 2025. But Staples, Inc. has found a new use for some of its roomy office supply stores, and that is to make part of them into offices. The retailer is joining other chains, including Sears Holding Corp. and Macy's, that have carved off sections of their stores to other companies in an effort to improve store productivity and to give shoppers, increasingly tempted to buy online, another reason to stop by. On Monday, Staples is expected to unveil a partnership with office-sharing startup Workbar LLC to open communal workspace at three Boston area stores. Workbar is one of several firms that have emerged in recent years that manage a network of locations with desks and conference rooms that subscribers can access for a monthly fee. For Staples, which has had declining shopper traffic since 2009 and 4 years of shrinking revenue, the hope is the arrangement with Workbar will draw small business owners and mobile professionals who will then shop for office supplies. Obviously, it drives traffic for us, said Peter Scala, who's Staples' head of merchandising. Our goal here is to continually focus on making large stores more productive. The Staples arrangement is a response to a space glut among some retailers due in part to rapid expansion over the past several decades. Magnifying the situation is the rise of online shopping that has reduced the number of visits shoppers make to physical stores. U.S. store visits in November and December fell 6.4%, according to Retail Metrics, which collects data through analytics software provided to retailers. While Staples, Sears, and other chains have been closing dozens of locations, they are opting to revamp some locations rather than close their doors. Sears has leased portions of stores to Whole Foods Markets, Incorporated, Forever 21, Inc., Dick's Sporting Goods, and British retailer Primark, as the department store contends with boxes that are too big for its shrinking sales. Sales at stores excluding newly closed or open locations fell 9.2% last year. Sears has said the strategy will turn unprofitable or unproductive space into profitable space, according to a 2014 blog post by the retailer. Many of the stores with subleased space are now part of Seritage Growth Properties, a real estate investment trust that Sears created last year. Macy's is exploring options to extract value from its 870 stores. In one deal announced in October, Macy's sold the top four floors of its downtown Seattle store to an affiliate of Starwood Capital Group, which will convert them to offices. Macy's will continue to operate its department stores on the five lower floors. Most big box retailers have realized they can't grow stores any bigger and get more business from them, said Paco Underhill, who's the founder of EnviroCell, an international retail consultant. Staples' 1,300 U.S. stores face a particular space surplus as digital workplaces have sapped demand for binders and filing cabinets that used to fill the cavernous stores. Laptop computers and high-end stationery take up less shelf space than many of the former popular products that used to drive the retailer's business. The planned work bar offices will take up 2,500 to 3,500 square feet inside the Staples store. Stores typically take up more than 20,000 square feet. Mr. Scala declined to say whether the office operator will pay for the space through rent, commissions, or other means. The program is initially planned for the Boston area where WorkBar is based. The office supplier has eliminated more than 5 million square feet of store space over the past 4 years by closing or splitting stores. It plans to close another 50 stores this year in addition to downsizing and relocating others. The retailer is also defending a $6.3 billion takeover of rival Office Depot Incorporated against government officials who have challenged the deal on antitrust grounds. Most co-working companies set up shop in urban areas to cater to the clusters of startup companies and freelance workers in big cities, but WorkBar Chief Executive Bill Jacobson said the Staples partnership was part of an effort to better serve the suburbs. The privately held company runs four workplaces in the Boston area, along with 10 other offices shared with partners. The new outlets will open in three Staples locations, including the first store Staples opened in 1986 in Brighton, Mass., on Boston's western edge. Mr. Jacobson said the locations stay open long hours and on the weekends and have plenty of parking. So I think it's a great idea as far as shared space is concerned. And there's a lot of times when people who I know who are salespeople will often, you know, come into my office and they'll say, hey, can I just sit in the corner here and borrow your Wi-Fi? Can I borrow your phone? Can I, you know, you have that extra office. Can I just use the phone and go in there? I have to make a call. So I think this gives them the opportunity to have a place where they can then go and meet. And I also like the part about having conference rooms that can be either leased out or rented out, because how many times do you have a meeting where now you have to come in and bring in 10 or 15 people, but your conference room just can't handle that many people? Or maybe you're a an organization that doesn't have physical meeting space, and here's an opportunity where maybe you could rent their space and still have a productive meeting. So I think that's going to be a good idea. I think you're going to see that popping up in more and more stores, especially the Staples that I go into. A lot of them are getting rid of the office furniture, so this may be a way for them to use that space without having to either scale down the size of the store or sublease it. Half of it to another tenant. Well, I had gotten a couple of comments this morning because when I sent out the promo for the show, which I do in the morning before the show, I had put on there my top 10 peeves in public speaking. And instantly, someone, you know, hit me up and said, I have 20. Another person said, I hope yours match my list. And so apparently, we've all listened to public speakers. We've all maybe even been public speakers. But if there's one thing that I can't stand, it's when someone is giving a presentation and they become so distracting by what they are doing or what they are saying that I get lost as far as the message is concerned. So here are my top 10 pet peeves of public speakers. And I want you to think of this from the standpoint of, if you have to do a presentation, are you doing any of these? And then if you're not, the next time you go and you see somebody doing a presentation, are they doing these? So here we go. So starting out with number one, if you start a speech with throat clearing, that's what I call the tendency many speakers have to start with what appears to be a lame attempt to connect with the audience. It's great to see everyone here, especially after last night in the bar. Huh? You know who you are. When I ask why people do this, they say it's to connect with the audience. The real reason is that they want to make themselves feel comfortable. Don't do it. Instead, just start your speech. You know, if the room is loud, you can always ask for people, get their attention, but you don't have to start with cheesy jokes or throat clearing to make that make your presence known. Number two, when you start a speech with the verbal equivalent of a prologue. Now, too much fiction starts with a prologue that details something that will happen before the main events of the book or after or in some other universe. It's self-conscious and it's annoying and the speaking equivalent. So if people say something like, well, let me begin with a bit of background, that's annoying as well. If you're telling me background, then you haven't done the real work of figuring out what your story is. And if a person is coming in as a guest speaker, hopefully there's someone on staff who can introduce them and give the background. And this way they don't have to run through their resume and sort of qualify themselves up front. When you say things like what I call the X factor, which is a strange verbal tic that many speakers have, is to take a perfectly well-known bit of professional jargon and then attaching the phrase what I call to the front of it, as if they invented the term. What I call professional suicide, what I call a business cliche, what I call a mistake, you and everybody else. If you've really made up the term, fine, but usually it didn't begin with you, so don't appropriate it as if it did. Number four, and this is one that bugs me all the time, when you use air quotes. Now, this lamentable tic usually happens when a speaker wishes to signal that he's speaking ironically or knows that he's using a cliche. You should be busy gesturing your passion, not your irony. So lose the air quotes. Number five, quoting great thinkers. Now, quoting famous people used to be a mainstay of public speaking. The whole effort is a way of hiding behind other people's thinking. Don't do it. In this age of authenticity, stand or fall with your own words. Number six, quoting yourself. Now, this is a relatively new habit, and it's one that I find absolutely bizarre, and it's crept up in Facebook, I believe, where people sometimes vary the obnoxious, inspirational quotes from Einstein or Snoopy with, incredible as it may seem, quotes from themselves put over a picture of a sunset or a seascape. Now I'm starting to see slides where people quote themselves. Now, how pretentious is that? If you're going to quote someone, then at least quote someone who has been dead for a while so that his or her words have stood the test of time. Number seven, breaking into regional accents, dialect, imitations, or worst of all, a song. Now, we may have received positive reinforcement for our funny accents or imitations or songs from family and friends, but that's relying too much on a small sample. Usually, those sorts of performances are cringeworthy at best or insulting to someone in the audience. So save your performances for the shower, unless you're already a real Broadway star. No need to get into, you know, just because you're in the South, starting to talk like y'all and stuff like that. Just be yourself. Number eight, if you use slide decks that combine multiple styles, fonts, and approaches. If you're going to use slides, then at least go to the effort of designing them properly and consistently rather than just stealing one from here or there and Jane down the hall and putting them together in a visual mishmash that's an insult and also distracting to your audience. Number nine, not finishing your sentences, thoughts, or points. Now, speaking on your feet, and we see this in the political campaigns a lot, means a certain amount of ad-libbing and improvising. I understand that. So, of course, there are going to be changes of direction and so forth, but you have to get a grip on this and try to keep these tendencies under control. So finish your thought and then move on to the next one. It's so much easier for the audience to follow if you do. Sometimes it's not a bad idea when you're at the podium, have a little notepad there. So if you introduce something or someone asks you a question, make sure you wrap it all up. And finally, number 10, if you finish every phrase with the word, right? The other way people commit this sin is with an uptick in tone as if they were asking a question. At the end of every sentence, hi, my name is Nick. Annoying? Sure it is. So is checking constantly with the audience to see if it agrees with you by ending your phrases with, right? Right? So stand for something. Don't be needy. Just make sure that you put the information out there and then let them absorb it. If you're wrong, I guarantee you they're going to let you know. When we come back, we're going to talk about three habits of remarkably focused people. You're going to want to stick around for that. Right now, we're going to step away and take a break for the news. And when we come back, we'll continue with more of Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
Republican and Democratic frontrunners Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are trying to get their campaigns back on track after big losses in Wisconsin's presidential primary. Terry Moore has the story.
Clinton was soundly defeated by rival Bernie Sanders in Wisconsin, while Trump suffered a similar fate against Ted Cruz. At a rally in Pittsburgh, Clinton called herself a true progressive.
You gotta get things done. You've got to bring people together.
Trump stuck with familiar themes during a rally in his home state of New York, site of the next big primary on April 19th.
We are going to start winning again with our country because we don't win. We never, ever win anymore.
Trump is heavily favored in New York, while Clinton may have her hands full again with Sanders. I'm Terry Moore reporting.
This is USA Radio News, breaking news on USARadio.com.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at ConservativeTribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. ConservativeTribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At ConservativeTribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit ConservativeTribune.com. That's ConservativeTribune.com.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, and it's getting busy again at Crown Trophy, which we always love at this time of the year. A lot of shirt orders, a lot of sign orders going on right now, and of course, now we're starting to break into the spring sports, so starting to see more of an uptick in that. And then on the corporate side, a lot more corporate awards as well as promotional items going out the door. So glad to see that. You know, there is that uptick and that we're making a positive spin on the spring season. So very happy to see that. Hopefully everything is going well in your business as well. Well, there are three habits of remarkably focused people. And before I start the story, I kind of want you to do a little bit of a self-analysis here. And that is, do you see yourself as being focused? You know, and when I say that, I don't mean from 9 to 9:30. I mean kind of all day, 24/7, always focused, always with your eye on the prize kind of thing. Now, if you want to have an edge over others and get more effective, you have to do these three things every day. Now, the ability to focus is a game changer. The more laser-focused you are, the more you can get done, and the better the quality of your work will be. Now, we all have the same 24 hours every day, but those who are focused seem to squeeze more meaningful work out of their day than the rest of us. Focus matters even more for CEOs, bosses, and other leaders. Daniel Goleman says in Focus, the Hidden Driver of Excellence, that leaders need to be able to direct the attention and efforts of their team toward a shared vision. The only way they can do that is by being able to focus their own attention first. Now, clearly, no matter what roles you juggle in life and at work, you will benefit by becoming more focused. So here are three ways that you can do that. The first is to reflect. Now, what this means is you need to make time and space early in your day to reflect on your priorities and then set your intentions for the day. This is useful on two levels. First, even a few minutes spent shutting out distractions and concentrating on only one thing exercises your attention muscle. And just like a muscle, the more you use it, the stronger it becomes. Second, this gives you the chance to begin the day with purpose. The 5-Minute Journal, created by Alex Icahn and UJ Ramdas, lets you start the day right by setting your intentions in just 5 minutes in the morning. At night, take another 5 minutes to kind of take stock and reflect on what went right and decide how you could have made the day better. Writing in this journal will be the best 10 minutes you spend every day. Number two, you want to remember. So the first was reflect, now we want to remember. And now as you go about your day, it's easy to get inundated by the hundreds of different things demanding your attention. Your intentions and priorities may get thrown out the window as you put out fires. Your attention jumps from one thing to another until, just like a muscle, it gets fatigued and grows weaker and weaker as the day goes on. So recharge it with simple triggers or stimuli that remind you of your intentions. These could be simple post-it notes or a to-do list or something like that. And finally, you want to regroup. Productivity suffers when you keep a frantic pace all day, every day. In the same way that muscles grow bigger and get stronger by short periods of stress, followed by rest and recovery, your attention needs to have the occasional break. And this may not be what you want to hear when meetings run back-to-back and deadlines loom, but those breaks don't need to take a long time at all. So stop and regroup even for just 30 seconds before diving into a new meeting or activity. You may want to take 3 deep breaths and ask yourself, what do I want to accomplish? What is the win scenario? That's all it takes to bring your focus back to the significance of the task at hand, so no matter how tired or busy you are, you'll be motivated to give it your attention instead of secretly worrying about your unanswered emails or the rest of the items on your to-do list. And in a world where most people can no longer concentrate and reflect, the one who's remarkably focused stands out and succeeds. The good news is you can train your brain to be more focused, intentional, and attentive. Now, the 3 habits that I described above are only some of the ways that you can develop your attention muscle. So keep practicing, and it will grow more powerful, and you'll be amazed at how much more effective you are when you focus. As Alexander Graham Bell said, concentrate all your thoughts upon the work at hand. The sun's rays do not burn until brought into focus. So again, those are reflect, remember, and regroup. So we're talking about productivity. We're talking about organization. Now what I want to do is talk about a to-do list game plan. And you've heard me talk about this on the program several times, where getting yourself organized, and I always tell people that at night before I leave, I usually write out the top 10 things I want to accomplish the next morning. Sometimes there may be 2 or 3 things on that list that I will do at home that night, maybe things I didn't get to finish today. So a to-do list to me is what starts my day organized and focused. I already know what I need to accomplish. Hopefully I can get through those 10, and then anything else that comes, I can just add on to it. So let's try to make today the day you finish everything. Or since we're halfway through the day, maybe we can start on this tomorrow. But it's a great feeling, isn't it? Checking something off of your to-do list. Mission accomplished. Done. Finito. But it's all easy to let that list grow to Herculean proportions or have a whole day or week go by without checking anything off of your growing list of tasks. Now, how does this tool for getting things done become a stack of ticking time bombs, flaunting your procrastination? It all comes down to your planning and how you write it. Now, here are 7 tips for mastering your to-do list like a boss. First, like me, you want to create your list the night before. So starting your day without a clear plan means non-essential tasks can quickly derail your day. That's why it's smart to create your daily to-do list the night before so you know exactly what you've got on your plate. It also allows you to prioritize those tasks. And as a bonus, once you've got all that down on paper or using Evernote, your mind is clear and you'll fall asleep without worrying about the next day. Number 2, you want to eat the frog first. And this popular productivity phrase is based on Mark Twain's quote, "Eat a live frog first thing in the morning and nothing worse will happen to you the rest of the day." Now you may be tempted to ease into your day by starting off with simpler or less demanding tasks, but that will just make tackling the more difficult jobs later even more challenging. So finish your big task first and the rest of the list will seem a whole lot simpler. You also want to embrace isolation. That's the third focus on your to-do list. Now, silence your phone, put on headphones if you have to, minimize the email in your tray, and set up site blockers if you can't keep yourself from checking addictive sites like ESPN or Facebook. Anything you can do to ensure that interruptions won't break your focus. A few hours of complete concentration can accomplish what would take several days of mindless multitasking. Number four, you want to avoid roadblocks. Now, make sure the to-dos you're writing down are actually actionable. Break down larger chores into smaller tasks that can be easily accomplished that day. For example, find a new dentist can seem a bit overwhelming, but ask Dan in accounting what dentist he goes to can certainly be done in just a matter of minutes. You also want to use number five, the two-minute rule. You want to avoid being sidetracked, but no man is an island. If a task or a request comes your way during the day and it'll take less than 2 minutes to accomplish, just do it right then, such as answering an email or returning a quick phone call. These are small things that can easily be finished as opposed to being added to the bottom of your already full to-do list. Number six, and this is important, give yourself a break. Now, if you work too hard for too long, your body will find ways to give itself a break in the form of procrastination. So pushing too hard only strains your brain. So schedule a few breaks into your to-do list, but don't break your flow by scheduling breaks at a specific time. Instead, match them with certain tasks, so that once those tasks are checked off your list, you'll be free to enjoy yourself for a few minutes. And number seven, you want to review. At the end of the day, go over your list, and this could be before you leave work or as you're getting ready for bed, but take a moment to appreciate everything you just accomplished and check to make sure that there aren't any looming deadlines or time-sensitive tasks that you've also missed. It's also the ideal time to make tomorrow's to-do list and identify that day's frog. So there's a couple of to-do list kind of hints and rules for making your to-do list more doable. So hopefully some of those will help you as well. Currently 12:40. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. This next story really hit home for me because in talking with a lot of business owners and one who just stopped in the office the other day, business owners a lot of times tell themselves a lot of lies. And I don't think it's necessarily on purpose, but it can sidetrack you from success. Now, we all talk to ourselves constantly. Then, okay, maybe not literally, but the psychological phenomenon of self-talk is real and can have a major bearing on your life, moods, and even your professional performance. Self-talk can manifest itself in reactions to certain events and situations. For example, you might think, well, that was a dumb mistake, or this is going to be awesome. And these thoughts generally have an effect on how you perceive the event in question. They can also manifest as assumptions in the short term or long term about different aspects of your life and business. Now, there's no question that business owners lie to themselves, often knowingly, but some lies are innocuous. Others, like the 10 I'm about to give you, can be destructive and should be avoided at all costs. Now, here's some of the lies that business owners tell themselves. My customers are going to love this. Now, this lie stems from your own personal biases. You came up with the idea for your business or your product, so of course you're going to love it, but that doesn't mean that everyone else in your target audience is going to. And assuming that's the case, it may set you up for failure. If you don't have any objective data backing this statement, you're lying to yourself. When you say a lie to yourself that goes like, everything will work out, chances are it won't. Not if you allow things to continue as they are. There's this persistent myth that businesses succeed because they had a good idea and a good system. Then they just waited for everything else to fall into place. And this isn't true. Successful businesses have to experiment, tinker, and evolve constantly. You have to put in the effort if you want to succeed. The next lie is, I can always change this later. Now, this can be true depending on the context, but it's not a line of thinking you want to apply to many areas of your business. Assuming you'll be able to change something later gives you a lower threshold for quality, meaning you'll start off with a weaker strategy. And thanks to procrastination, you'll probably end up never changing it anyway. So start strong if you want to finish strong. The next lie is, I don't have to worry about this yet. There are many reasons for procrastination, and some of them are actually pretty good. However, when you delay a task, the indefiniteness of, I'll worry about that later, can set you up for a perpetual cycle of delay. Instead, if you don't have time to do something, either schedule a concrete time to do it in the future or delegate it to someone else. The next lie is, I have to do this myself. And I hear this all the time in business. I'm the only person who can do this. Now, entrepreneurs love to get their hands dirty, and many take it as a point of pride. You might convince yourself that you're the only one with the skill set or experience to handle a certain task, or that if you don't do this yourself, you'll lose control of your business. However, it's unlikely that these things are true, so you have to learn to let go and trust your teammates to help you out. The next lie is, I don't have time. Entrepreneurship is demanding. It takes a heavy investment of time and effort to see any progress, so many business owners end up putting off or ignoring other aspects of their life, like family, friends, and leisure time. Trust me, you need to make time for these things or you'll regret it later. And the next one is, I just have to work harder. Working harder isn't always the best approach. Just like hitting your head against a brick wall with more force isn't going to help you tear it down. Instead, opt for working smarter. More innovative solutions to your problems. Putting in more hours with a brute force style will leave you burnt out and frustrated. The next lie is, this could never work. Now, this lie often stems from preconceived notions about different strategies. You might hear an idea for the first time and immediately write it off as impractical or useless. Or you might be presented with a strategy that didn't work out well for you in the past and assume it could never work out in the future. It's important to be open to new ideas, especially since many strategies can be feasible as long as you use the right approach. The next lie is, all I need is, and then you fill in the blank. Businesses are ridiculously complicated, and even to the most seasoned, successful entrepreneurs in the world, they're somewhat unpredictable. There are too many variables for you to definitively boil down any problem to one single factor. If you give yourself this problem-solving tunnel vision, you could wind up ignoring the factors that are actually responsible for your predicament. Know that every problem is complex, and no one fix will solve everything. When you say something like, no one understands, to yourself, you're lying. Entrepreneurship can be painfully lonely. Because you're working long hours, you're in an isolated position, and you have to put on your brave face for your employees and your clients, and sometimes your family and friends. You might find yourself thinking that nobody understands the stresses you're dealing with. This weighs heavily on the mind, but don't fool yourself into thinking that you're alone. Connect with other entrepreneurs and open up about your experiences to see how they have handled similar situations. Also, don't feel ashamed if you lie to yourself. In fact, if you don't, you're in the minority. Some lies are important to reframe your expectations, help you think more positively, and direct your line of thought to something more productive. However, don't let yourself get caught in a trap of unproductive self-deception. Keep your thoughts and assumptions in check by remaining as objective as possible in your business. So there are some lies that people tell themselves in business, and hopefully you'll avoid as many of them as possible, and then with your to-do list, be able to get back on the path to success. When we come back, we're going to talk about 9 ways to plug profit leaks and make more money. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100inChamberRadio.com app today.
The 100 County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present 100inChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano, your host. Glad to be with you for about the next 10 minutes. Was on the treadmill this morning at Planet Fitness, and this song came on in my iPod, and I'm kind of like bebopping along and walking to it, and I'm saying, man, this is a really catchy song. I really like this. And then I realized, oh, yeah, that's the name of my show for the last 4 years. So sometimes things hit you in funny ways. You know, there's 9 ways to plug profit leaks and make more money, but sometimes you may overlook them. And, you know, you work hard, your customers rave about you, so why have your profits flatlined or worse, fallen off a cliff? You may have small leaks in your profit bucket because they are small, they can be easy to miss. And it takes time to feel the effects, like a flat tire with a slow leak. So here are 9 common leaks and the strategies that you can use to fix them to keep more money in your profit bucket. Remember first that, and this is the first one, travel time is money. Now, as business owners, we know time is money. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. We know we need to charge for that time we spend on a project or making a product. But what about travel time? So if you go to your client's location or you travel to meet at a location outside your office, that takes time. That's time that you can't spend on other client work or administrative tasks or with your family. So the solution here is to charge a travel fee or increase your rates to cover the cost of travel time. Number 2, you want to ditch mullet-style prices. Now, do you remember the mullet? Once the height of fashion, thank God I never had one. The 1980s hairstyle is now the punchline of jokes. But how long has it been since you've updated your prices? 1 year? 2 years? Since the mullet was popular? Every year, the cost of living goes up. Consider what you are spending on food, utilities, taxes, and health care this year versus last year. If your prices are flat and your cost of living has gone up, then you are making less money than you did the previous year. So the solution would be to review and adjust your rates every year. Even when your customers say things like, and you're going to charge me the same as you did last year if it's a reorder, you have to be upfront and honest with them and say, I'm sorry, we've had a price increase and I have to pass that along. Everything goes up. UPS rates, insurance, things like that. You have to make sure that you're covering all those bases. Remember that number 3, extras cost extra. Now, at the end of a project, your customer says, this is great. It would be perfect if you would just do this one small extra thing. It won't take you long, right? And you want the customer to be happy, and you're this close to being finished, so you do that one small extra thing at no additional cost. But it still costs you time and potentially other resources and expenses. That comes out of your pocket, and that eats up your profit margin. The solution would be to include the prices for add-ons in your contract, your rate sheet, or your website. And when asked to say, no problem, per our contract, that will be a small additional fee. Number 4, you want to act like a dentist. Now, have you ever been at a party with a dentist and asked him or her to take a quick look at your painful molar? Have you ever walked into a dentist's office and demanded they clean just one tooth for free so you can determine if they are qualified? Of course not. Yet many small business owners give away free services, work on spec, and run themselves ragged trying to prove that they are qualified. You are qualified. You have training, experience, and references. Serious prospects will use those to make a decision. The rest are simply looking to get something for nothing. The solution would be to respond to requests for spec work or freebies in the same manner that your dentist would. Number 5, you want to avoid death by a thousand cuts. Now, until banned in 1905, death by a thousand cuts was a slow form of execution and torture in China. Little expenses in your business can act the same way. A dollar here or there seems irrelevant, like that first or second small cut. Over time, they add up, and they can bleed your profits dry. If all your expenses aren't tracked and included in your pricing, then they will be paid for out of your profit. And if that isn't bad enough, since you aren't claiming the expenses, you will pay taxes on that money as if it were revenue. The solution here is to select an app or hire a bookkeeper to keep track of all of your business expenses. Number six, you want to check your invoices. Now, invoices are created by humans, and humans are imperfect. Discrepancies aren't intentional. They are simply honest mistakes, but they can cost you. So make sure you don't overpay for someone else's billing mistakes. The solution here is to verify all of your invoices in detail before paying. Also, you want to verify all of your invoices before sending them to a customer. This week, I just bid a job for a customer. We've done the same tournament for him for the last 6 years. And I noticed that the day after I sent it out, that there were like 300 of one trophy, 300 of another, one of one, and then about 800 of another. And I realized that when I looked at this, something was wrong. And I realized I had been so focused on changing the price that I forgot to change the quantity. So that one line item was actually 600 more trophies. I called him up. He understood. He knew what I was doing. But had this been the first time we were working with somebody, I could have been giving away the store. Number seven, you want to have spring cleaning for your expenses. Now, just like your home, your business would benefit from a thorough spring cleaning at least once a year. A service, solution, or product that was a perfect fit in the past may no longer serve your needs. So take a fresh look at how you spend your money. Is each expense meeting a need that you still have? Is there a better or less expensive solution? The solution here is to revisit the purpose and the results of your expenses at least once per year. Number eight, you want to enforce a cooling off period. Now, good salespeople know how to get you excited. They know that buying in the moment is often an emotional decision, not an analytical one. That's why you see limited time offers and fast action discounts. If the offer is truly good for you, it will still be good tomorrow. If a vendor isn't willing to allow even a 24-hour period to consider their offer, ask yourself, what are they afraid of? The solution here is to take a day or two before committing to spend money, even if the cost is slightly higher, to ensure that you make decisions based on facts. Number nine, you want to go big to save big. Now, if you have regular expenses, wait for a sale and then buy in bulk. If you use apps or software services, check if they offer an annual pay discount. Often, you'll get 1 or 2 months free if you prepay for a year. Not sure if they offer a volume discount? Then ask them. The solution here is, when possible, to buy in bulk or pay in advance to save money. It's time to take action. Pick one item on this list to implement within 1 week. Celebrate your success and then move on to the next item. In 9 weeks, those annoying leaks will be plugged and your profit bucket will hopefully be brimming over. Currently, it's 12:56 and we're getting towards the end of the show here. So wanted to get ready to wrap it up. A couple things. Like I mentioned, there'll be no show next week. We're going to have a rewind of the interview we had with Fimble Architectural Door. Another thought was Chris Phelan, who's the president of the chamber here, mentioned to me we might start videotaping these shows. Now, I think that's great if you have a guest in the studio with you, but would you be interested in watching the show, say on a YouTube channel or something like that, and seeing what we go through when we're preparing the show and getting it out on the air for you? So if you're interested in that, let me know that, because I'd be interested to see whether or not people would have that interest. New Jersey 101.5 used to do that with Jim Gerhart in the morning, and he'd have a live stream, and very oftentimes you see people walking around in the background, or you'll see Jim, you know, preparing his next story and things like that. So if you're interested in something like that, let me know. I'd be interested to see what your thoughts are. In sports, in NASCAR, Kyle Busch swept Martinsville last weekend to win two grandfather clocks, one in the Truck Series and one in the Sprint Series. The teams are going to head to Texas Motor Speedway this weekend for the Duck Commander 500 on Saturday night. In golf, as Jim Nantz says, it's a tradition like no other. The Masters Golf Tournament began this morning. The early leader was Jordan Spieth, and as they play for the coveted green jacket, Jordan Spieth is again, or is the defending champion. In Major League Baseball, the regular season is now underway, although some games have been postponed either due to cold and or snow. Here we are, April 7th, and already still talking about snow in some areas of the country. In the NCAA basketball, Villanova wins the men's championship on a buzzer beater over North Carolina 77-74 in what some are saying is the best college basketball game ever played. And on the women's side, the University of Connecticut, or UConn Huskies, won their fourth straight championship by defeating Syracuse on Tuesday night. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." Maybe you can use that advice in your lives as well. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn. on Twitter at JimGano83 or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.com.